AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Real takes over fake debates. We are live. SB Talks with Sean Will. Real takes over fake debates. It's Monday, football Monday is going down. How you feeling today, Sean?
Doing good, SB. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Just feeling a little bit better. The weather change definitely got me under the weather. Hope everybody's staying healthy and not sick around this time. The fall has changed, and the weather change and all that. But I'm doing good in general, though. How about you, man?
Doing all right, man. Just happy for Monday doubleheader on Monday Night Football. NBA season kicks off tomorrow, so definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually brought that up because the NBA season has will start tomorrow officially. We're going to see OKC get their rings. That's going to be nice to see. We know we're going to talk about our NFL. Got to go over our picks of the week. Definitely got to recap week 7 because a lot of things have happened. A lot of things have changed. Some teams have actually looked better than what they supposed to have. But we got to go into the NBA because the NBA is officially back. I don't really care about the preseason, Sean. I don't know how you really feel about preseason. I don't care too much about the preseason. The preseason is whatever. But with the NBA being back in a new in the era of basketball we are in now, people care more about storylines. But also, if you guys watch, make sure you guys like, share, subscribe on whatever you guys are watching on. But NBA is about storylines. Everything about the NBA is storylines, and also narratives. People can say it's just about the game. It's not about the game no more. You got to have good storylines. But this upcoming season has a lot of different stories to tell, and I want to break down some of them, and we can talk about it. Also, salute to the chat, Tiff in the building. How about them Chargers? We're not going to talk about that. Tell Lamar get healthy, and shout out Daniel. You know, salute everybody. But, Sean, we got some big storylines. So let's go into the biggest storylines for the upcoming NBA season. Number one on the list. We're going to start a little light. Make sure you guys comment and react to it in the chat. Number one, with both of their star players injured, Celtics and Pacers should tank this season.
No, I don't think they should tank, SB. I don't think any team should tank. Mm-hmm. Intentionally, because it never pans out well for you. Mm-hmm. The basketball guys have a way of making sure that you don't get the benefit, generally speaking, from tanking. That said, I think the Celtics and the Pacers are going to be competitive. Are they championship contenders in the Eastern Conference with obviously Halliburton and no Jason Tatum? I don't think they are. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to be competitive teams. I think the Celtics have a chance to be, a team that could, back into the playoffs on the, as a play-in team potentially. But, No, I don't think they should tank. I think they should come out and try to be competitive. Obviously, depending on the health of Halliburton and Tatum, they may try to come back later this season. I don't think either of them will. Mm-hmm. But, no, the Celtics and Pacers should not tank at all.
I'm going to say Pacers, yes. I think they should tank because you lost Miles Turner. Pacers is a team where you're not signing no big name free agents. Nobody's signing up to go to Indiana. So I think they're going to build their team through the draft. Obviously, you need to replace that big man spot at some point. I do think this season is a lost cause. You guys overachieved last year with Harold LeBert being out. This is just about developing that third guy. Next to Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton. And Tyrese Halliburton is going to need at least a year or two to get back to the form that he was just at. He's not going to come back right off injury to be Tyrese Halliburton. So I do think you need to find a way to add more young talent. The Celtics, I'm going to say no. This is the time to see what the finals MVP can do with this team. I don't want them to break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But I want, the reason I say the Celtics should tank, because let's see how far Jaylen Brown can carry this team by itself. Let's see, will he become the next level superstar that we think he can be? That's for me. Also, me and Sean, we are doing our NBA award predictions and conference predictions too, by the way, if I didn't, I forget to mention. But next storyline. One more run for the Asian Warriors. You know they acquired Jimmy Butler last year. After acquiring Jimmy Butler, that rejuvenated a one last championship window. Do the Warriors got, with how stacked the West is now, do the Warriors got one more run in them?
If they're healthy, I think they do. I think it's going to be a matter of whether or not how they're going to balance, obviously, having an aging roster. Can they get some of their young guys, you know, quality minutes for development during the season while obviously still being a competitive team? I think the big thing for the Warriors is they want to finish in the top six in the West. They do not want to be a play-in team. They want to finish as a top six team in the West, whether it's 3, 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter. Just be somewhere in that top six and be healthy going into the playoffs, presumably with Steph, with Jimmy, with Draymond, with Al Horford, you know, as well. I think you're going to see Steve Kerr try to play the long game as much as possible because of the age of the roster. But that said, they want to be a team. They don't want to be messing with the play-in. They want to get in, you know, have that, you know, those few days off between the end of the regular season and the playoffs with an aging roster, and then take their chances in the playoffs. But yeah,
for me, I don't think the Warriors have one more run in them, and it's not because of their roster. I think it's because of Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr coaching style and coaching the way he coaches that the Warriors team, I think is outdated. You're not finna be able to run this small ball with Draymond no more. It's too many skilled big mans now. The big men are actually skilled. You got away with doing that. Like now, the big mans are now like mobile, these young guys. Then you got people 6'8", 9'10" running guard too. You know, look at the Bulls with Josh Giddey, who was our point guard. He's about what, 6'8", 6'9". So I just think like, it's more of a Steve Kerr thing holding them back for me than it's actually the Warriors roster. Because, and then also, but don't get me wrong, also the roster ain't looked that pretty as it is. They didn't really do nothing. And look how long it took for them to make a move. And then they prolonged the Kuminga situation. Oh, you don't want him to be a part of the roster. You didn't make a move for him. So, only thing you did really was kept Kuminga, added Al Horford. That's not moving me as a championship team.
I have to say really quickly, SB, you know, I think one of the things we have to consider with the Warriors is they had some young guys last year that, you know, showed some flashes. The young big man, they got some production out of him. Certainly, Pazinski gives them an element. They have Buddy Hield. They have Moses Moody. So I think they got an interesting mix. Now, again, they're a team that I think is going to play the long game. I don't think they're trying to dominate the regular season. I think their thing is, what do we have to do to be a top six team and, you know, go into the playoffs as healthy as possible? How they're going to balance the Jimmy and Steph dynamic. Again, when Steph is on the bench, I would expect Jimmy to play a lot of those minutes and vice versa. So that, to me, is going to be the big thing for Steve Kerr this year. But we have a veteran team and guys who have won and know how to win. I'm not saying Steve Kerr doesn't have a job to do. I think his big thing is just, you know, managing the season, you know, with the age of his roster.
Next up, can, with the East being as wide open as it is, I think if you don't do it this year, it ain't gonna happen no other year. Can the New York Knickerbockers or the Cavs get over the Eastern Conference hump and make the finals?
Yes. I think one of these teams is making the NBA Finals this year. Mm. I think this is actually my Eastern Conference Finals prediction, Knicks-Cavs.
Okay.
Certainly, again, it's going to come down to, you know, where, you know, both teams finish in the standings. I think Cleveland's the best team in the East. I think the Knicks finish 2 or 3, but I think if they finish third, it's not because they're not good. It's just because we're going to see Mike Brown use his bench more than Tom Thibodeau did during the regular season. So, you know, and again, their big thing is just finish top three. So I really believe, again, They just based on the makeup of their roster and obviously Mike Brown, that's an Eastern Conference Finals team, you know, moving forward. But this is my ECF prediction for this season.
I think it should be because those are the two best teams in the East. But, you know, you got teams like Atlanta, who's a sleeper. You never know how Giannis is going to be with the Milwaukee Bucks. So I wouldn't doubt the Bucks. But my man said is like, can they get over? They can. The roster is good enough to do it, to answer the question of it. But if they don't do it this year, it's over with. I have more belief in the New York Knicks than I do the Cleveland Cavaliers because I still have concerns about the Cavs backcourt with Garland and Donovan Mitchell defensively in the clutch. Also, with the Knicks, I think like they got a better all-around fit of a team. You got a guy in Brunson who is clutch, show that he could be clutch, show he could come into the moment. You got a skilled big man in Carter Jones who can board, who can shoot three, space the floor. Then you got a bunch of nice guys on the wing with OG Anobi, Mikal Bridges, who can defend the best players on other teams, still knock down open shots. Then you added more to your bench. Then you added a coach who actually going to play the bench. And we figured that's the only problem with the Knicks was that the coach didn't play. So I wouldn't be shocked if I see the New York Knicks make the finals this year. But
And I'll say the bigger issue for me with the Cavs is health. It's not the roster. It's just their health. If they're healthy, I think they're a problem. And I like the fact that DeAndre Hunter looks like he's going to be in the starting five this year. He gives them a bigger wing defender. I know they got to get some guys back. I know Strus had a surgery and some other guy. They got to get some guys back. The big thing for them is, can they get the production from their bench? I know they have, you know, Lonzo as well coming off the bench, providing some point guard depth. And again, we know when Lonzo's healthy, he's one of a good perimeter defender as well. So they got a good mix and match. But to me, it's just, are they healthy?
To me, this might be a hot take. This might be a hot take. And I know people are going to look at it and say it's crazy. For the Cavs to get over the hump or to be a championship caliber team, I think Lonzo Ball should start and Darius Garland should come off the bench. So hear me out. You get rid of the dynamic of worrying about the backcourt of the defensively and how Lonzo Ball plays. He's a playmaker. Sometimes with the Cavs, they get ISO heavy Donovan Mitchell. But also having Darius Garland off the bench will give that spark to the bench because that's still a concern with the Cavs. Who's going to be that spark off the bench? Darius Garland off the bench is probably sixth man of the year. Now, I'm saying I don't think Lonzo Ball should play majority of the minutes with him, but I do think in clutch situations – and starting, I think that there will be a better lineup with Lonzo starting and Darius Garland off the bench. Y'all can catch it as a hot take, but I think they will be a better team with Darius Garland off the bench. They need something off the bench. Who is that guy off the bench?
Well, I mean, again, you have Lonzo, you have Strus coming off the bench. I mean, they have some guys that will be coming off the bench and being part of their rotation. Mm-hmm. Again, I think their big thing is just health. And we know Kenny Atkinson is going to design an offense around the talent he has. To me, the big question for them is just health. We know Garland's going to miss the start of the season as he had to have, you know, toe surgery. But they're good enough to hold it down until he's back, and then they just have to get back into their rhythm heading into April.
What if when Darius Garland's out, they number one in the East. They one of the best ran offenses with Lonzo in Atlanta. You don't think you could look at that and consider that? Because then Darius Garland off the bench would be a cheat code.
I think they will go with their core four.
It'll be like a Ginobili thing. So I want to feel like I'm disrespecting Darius Garland. It'd be like everybody knows Ginobili could have started, should start. But him coming off the bench took the Spurs to another level.
They're gonna go with their core four. And, you know, so we'll see. But I think if the Cavs come out playing as well as I expect them to, SB, I think that means you don't have to rush Darius Garland back. You can allow him to, you know, take his time and get fully healthy before he has to come back. That said, that team goes through Garland, Mitchell, Allen, and Mobley. And that's their core four. And that's why I think many people are high on them is because of those core four guys.
But Mobley is you can agree that Mobley is the number two guy, though, right?
I'm not a big pecking order guy in that way. I think Mobley's still ascending. And I think, again, he's obviously was an all-star last year. He's going to probably take another leap, hopefully.
Right.
But the big thing for them is when they get in the playoffs, being fully healthy and having those core four guys healthy with the DeAndre Hunter, I think that's the best starting five in the NBA, in my opinion. When those four guys and Hunter are out there, that's the best starting five in the NBA, and that's why I think a lot of people are so high on them, along with Kenny Atkinson.
Is it next storyline for the NBA season? Is it Giannis' last stand in Milwaukee, or is it? You can answer yes, and then also, do you think he should leave?
No, I don't think Giannis should leave. To answer the second question first, they basically signed his entire family.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Family. So why would you leave that? They give you pretty much everything you want.
They gave him everything.
Right.
Everything.
So, no, and they continue to give him everything he wants. I'm saying this, and I'm not big into narratives. At this point, Giannis is Dirk. You got one. Not a lot of people expected y'all to win one. You got one. Anything you do after this is icing on the cake. I know he wants more championships, but going somewhere is not a guarantee you're going to win there.
Why he don't just look at what happened with Dame? That should be a perfect example where, like, ooh, the grass might not be green on the other side if I go somewhere else. And the fans ain't gonna be as loving as they are in Milwaukee because they grew up and see you become a star. Now, you just a whole fresh face. So if you don't come in there and perform, shit, it ain't gonna be nice like it is in Milwaukee. You try to do that, you want to go to New York. New York will boo you.
Yes. You now, play bad. Yeah, and I think also when Giannis leaves Milwaukee, because eventually he's gonna leave Milwaukee, it's gonna be to go play for in Greece. It's not gonna be to play for another NBA team. So that's my belief, but of course that remains to be seen.
For me, I don't think it's Giannis' last stand. You know, I have been very adamant on saying that I think Giannis should stay. Like, why would he leave? He won a championship. He don't need to go chasing championships. He won one in Milwaukee, and honestly, Giannis needs to let the Bucks rekindle some assets. Like, you might have to take one or two off. They did everything for you. So you got to understand, okay, I'll give y'all a year or two. And then Giannis wanted more legendary stuff. This is the year to him to go show why he's the best player. I think this year Giannis should focus on recapturing the title of the best player in the league. And I actually think he possibly can't do it this year. Next storyline. You know, we got to talk about the champs, fresh champions. OKC Thunder. Although, man, they make it KD and Russ and the legacy look a little shaky. They won a championship, this new dynamic. But is the Thunder striking twice, Sean? Is we going to see our first back-to-back team to win a championship? I think they built for the last couple of years team we have seen. They built to go back-to-back, but how legit of a shot do they have?
I think if they're healthy, they obviously have a very good shot. If they're healthy, I think there's another team in the West that has something to say about that, which we'll see. But it all comes down to, again, the expectation that J-Dub will come back and be healthy and be the two-way dynamo he is for them. SGA is playing at an MVP level. And I don't think Chet has to make a major jump, but I think Chet has to, obviously, one, be available more than he was because he only played 32 games last year. And second, just take, you know, a next step. This team, again, I think this may be the last iteration of this team because Lu Dort and Hartenstein both can be free agents this summer. So they got to, you know, push for it while they have this group together. And I think they will. But again, I think there's another team in the West that will have something to say about that.
I think they legitimately have a shot to be a team next, possibly to three-peat. I don't really see them losing nobody in the next couple of years. They don't have to make nothing crazy. The team's still young. The bench still young. They got that one kid that's like supposed to be one of the best players from overseas. He didn't even get to play last year. So he's coming to the team. So that's a whole other dynamic too.
Yeah, Jokic.
Yeah, so they even getting better as we speak. So, yeah, I don't think everybody money really start kicking in until like what, next season?
Yes, technically, but again, you got, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein, for example. He's on a pretty nice deal. His money's probably going to have to move once those deals kick in. So what they want to focus on right now is this season. You know, and again, can then get improvement from Cason Wallace. You know, we see, you know, one of, you know, Caruso obviously still brings a veteran presence there. I think they're obviously it's the Thunder. I don't know if they're going to do what they did last year in terms of wins, but I would pencil them in for as a 60 win team without question.
Next story, like you did brought up a team in the West. Can the reloaded Nuggets or anybody in the West, we're going to keep it in the West, have a legit shot at stopping the OKC Thunder? And if the Nuggets, if the Nuggets are on the list, who else?
The Nuggets are the list for me.
Wow. No Rocky, no KD. Rockies got a chance? The highest paid player of all time?
They got some concerns, I think. Obviously, at point guard, the pairs that they're going to be starting, Amen Thompson at point guard, and KD will play in at the two. I don't know how that's going to work. We'll see. But I think the Denver Nuggets are the one team that I would say OKC will likely have to worry about in the Western Conference in terms of teams built to beat them. Them reloading their bench, obviously swapping out Michael Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson. And again, that created some great financial flexibility for them. They brought back Bruce Brown. They brought in Tim Hardaway. Jonas Valanciunas, obviously, is a quality backup for them. Can they continue to get, you know, growth from Peyton Watson and Julian Strother? I think those are the things that I'm looking for with the Denver Nuggets. But ultimately, with the Nuggets, to me, the big question is how they manage those non-Joker minutes, because they were minus 9.3 when Joker was off the floor last season, and that generally got them in a lot of trouble when he needed to rest between the first and second quarters particularly. So how they're going to manage those non-Joker minutes, that's what I'm going to be watching for. But they are the team in the West that I think gives OKC the one shot of not repeating.
Yeah, now I want to ask this question. Blue ball will count on the screen. So whatever Lakers finish, we're dropping our predictions. We will show you where we got the Lakers finishing. Cause I know you care more about the Lakers. And shout out to your Giants too, Blue Ball. But yeah, Sean is gonna shock you when he got the Lakers at two. But for me, Sean, when I look at the Western Conference, I do think that the Houston Rockets, the Denver Nuggets are like a legit threat. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are a legit threat to the OKC Thunder. I don't think it's just gonna be an easy cakewalk back to the finals with the OKC Thunder. I think they struck lightning in the bottle at the right time, but don't get me wrong, they was one of the best teams in the league. But legit shots, my legit contenders towards them is the Nuggets for sure, the Timberwolves for sure, and the Houston Rockets. Only thing, like you said, you got to answer that point guard concern, and I think Rockets back in dynamic. I don't think you care too much about this one, Sean, so I just take the reins of answering this one. And the next one after this storyline is more for you. I don't care too much about that one. You can have it. But, you know, I got to talk about my Chicago Bulls. Nobody cares about my Bulls. Kobe White's future with the Bulls. Kobe White is going to be an unrestricted free agent coming into this next season. I think the Chicago Bulls should have traded Kobe White already by now, because at the end of the day, if you barely want to pay Josh Giddey, I know you don't want to pay Kobe White. And Kobe White, another hot take prediction, I got Kobe White making the All-Star team this year. It's a lot of spots open in the Eastern Conference with no All-Stars, and how they played the second half of the season. Then, yeah, so – but Kobe White will probably be on a different team, and the Bulls are way too late, and we probably overpay him. Either we go overpay him or he's going to walk. And I think the Bulls should actually trade him and get something for him if we walk for nothing. I got one for you, Sean, about your Heat. Is it time to build around A-Bam? You know, Asia, A-Bam. Okay. Y'all not arguing with my jokes, but it's cool. But, yeah, is it time to build around A-Bam?
Yeah, I mean, I think once the Jimmy Butler trade was made in February, I think that was what they were pointing to, is that they're going to build around Bam and presumably Tyler Hero whenever he comes back. At the end of the day, we'll see. Right now, again, my expectations for the Heat are very much they're going to be a team that's going to be fighting in the play-in realm, again, unless something crazy happens in the East. But, no, I think they've signaled that, again, Bam is the franchise player right now. Again, as Tyler Hero, an all-star. You know, what are we going to get from Norman Powell? Davion Mitchell having a full year and Andrew Wiggins having a full year. Khalil Ware, you know, does he have a, you know, take a sophomore leap? So we'll see. But you know, yeah, they, I think they've shown that since February that that's where they were going.
Now, is it time for Wimby Mania to run wild on the NBA? Is Wimby Mania about to run wild on the NBA? We just seen him with KG. We just seen him with Monks. He didn't look swole. He tip dunked somebody for the free throw line in the I see this in the preseason. I watch preseason. He tip dunked somebody for the free throw line without jumping off the ground. Is it time for Wimby to take over the league?
I think we're gonna see year three Victor Wembanyama after again dealing with the blood clots last year coming back. I think you're gonna see him take his game to another level. The big key for him is obviously they have two young guards and Stephon Castle and obviously Dylan Harper. How's that gonna fit with De'Aaron Fox? You know, some of their other young guys. I like Carter Bryant. I think he was one of the steals they got in the draft. But it all comes back to, you know, Wembanyama, his health. But if he's healthy and he's on the floor, I think he's going to be an absolute nightmare this season in the NBA. Can't hear you, SB.
Yeah, he said, Wimby going to play more than 29 minutes per game? He has no choice. But, Sean, I do think this is – Wimby Mania season. I think Wembanyama is going to show he's one of the best players in the league. Honestly, the only thing stopping Wimby is injuries. I don't see no player in the league stopping Wembanyama if he's on the court healthy. It's literally like that. It's literally like that. This is giving me flash. Wembanyama year three is giving me flashbacks of looking at a young player who came into the league with all this hype just like Wimby does. And by year three, it was nothing you could do to stop that man. And he was just like a legit dog and beast. And that was young LeBron James and the Cavs. And I know about it. And I told you, that's my favorite version of LeBron James. And I know he was because I remember when I was a kid, I begged my mama for LeBron threes. I had the gray and blues. So he was different during that time. I should wear a big old bulky LeBron, but LeBron was that deal. But yes, Wimby is giving me flashback of like year three LeBron, where it's like, this kid is that good. There's nothing you can do about it. He's going to be great. It's nothing you can do about it. Only thing stopping Wimby is injury. And I felt the same way about it. It was with LeBron. Speaking of LeBron, he said he's not retiring. He did that cringy second decision. But trust me, LeBron, people in the world drinking Hennessy enough. You don't need to fake a decision to get people to drink Hennessy, my guy. But that's a different story for a different day. LeBron is not retiring, Sean. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. What is LeBron's future with Luka's Lakers?
If I were a betting man, I would say this is probably his last year with the Lakers. Whether or not it's his last year in the NBA, obviously, remains to be seen. But I think the Lakers have shown they are ready to pivot from the LeBron era. I honestly hope this is his last season. He's already going to miss the first month of the season with sciatica, which is not generally something that gets better long term. It's usually something you kind of have to manage and fight with. I think the big question is for him is what does he want? What does he want? You know, obviously Rich Paul releases statements that LeBron wants to compete for championships, and that's all well and good. But, you know, at a $52 plus million cap number, it's really hard to surround this, you know, age LeBron with a lot of talent. So it's really going to come down to what does he want? Again, I think this is his last season in LA. What happens in the offseason remains to be seen. There's going to be teams with cap space in the offseason, but are they going to want to, you know, back up the truck for, you know, a 41-year-old LeBron going into year 24? I can't see many teams doing that at this point unless they're just trying to get a boost in revenue, but you know, so
I think LeBron go upset the league and do something crazy, like go somewhere for the pennies to the dollar what he costs, so they can make a sack team and he go win a championship. Then he retire with a championship. But LeBron, the Lakers have made it pretty much clear that they out of LeBron's stock. They done. LeBron, you can walk away free. They was hoping that LeBron actually retired so they get more money out their retirement tour. But LeBron is the Lakers are done. It's the Luka show now. They happy. They happy. They got a guy to get the LeBron from up, get up under the LeBron thumb. I see LeBron either doing two things, Sean. This I don't think I see LeBron doing. LeBron James is going to play this season out. If he retires, that's the third thing. If he retires, he's just going to retire. He's going to play this season out. If LeBron does not retire, he will leave the Lakers, and he only going to two places. And both places right now is set up. He could compete for a championship, and he could probably sign for a low deal. He's either going to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers or he's going to go to the New York Knicks. One of the two. I don't see him going no other situation. The Warriors don't have a championship caliber team. He won't take less money. The Knicks is the only both teams set up. Really, LeBron can actually fit on both teams. Well, Knicks, you got to move something around. But if you can sign up for the vet minimum, I'll go do that. And then the Cavs, he actually fit right perfectly for the Cleveland Cavaliers team. And that's what I see him doing. Then one more this next season. And if Bryce makes the league, he'll probably try to play with Bryce or play against Bryce. And then he will go out in a blaze of glory. I think if LeBron leave on the championship, that'll be fire. Now, Sean, we got to do our real takes on fake debates conference predictions and also our real takes on fake debates award predictions. I want you guys to participate in the chat. Comment yours below. We are doing not it's no specific order. It's six playoff teams and the four play-in teams for the conference. And in the awards, you just go down and listen to your awards. I want to see what you guys got. Sean, you are up first. Got to put us like this. Let's do your we're gonna do east or your west first.
It doesn't matter. Either one.
Okay, let's do your east. Let's do east conference first. All right, Sean, this is your Eastern Conference playoff and play-in predictions. Explain it to the people what you got.
Yeah, so obviously I have Cleveland, the Knicks at the top. Those are no-brainers. Detroit, Orlando, I think are the next two teams in the East that could make some noise, given what they did last season. Milwaukee, again, they've retooled around Giannis, getting Miles Turner at center. And certainly, you know, done some unique and creative things with their backcourt after stretching and waving Dame. I think they find a way to finish in the top six in the East. And then Atlanta, I think the moves of Atlanta
is nice.
I think their roster is right and ready to be, you know, guaranteed a top six spot. Question marks around, again, you know, what's Trae Young's future there? Maybe they're just going to wait until the offseason to address it. He's obviously extension eligible. They have not signed him to an extension yet. So, but that said, I think those are the top six teams in the East. And in the play-in, again, no particular order. Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia is going to be interesting if Joel Embiid's available. And again,
and he hurt already?
No. He played in the preseason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he played in the preseason.
I jumped the gun a little bit. The news is going to come out shortly, though. Nah.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, with Maxey. And I'm a big VJ Edgecombe fan. I think he's gonna be an absolute stud for them. You know, we obviously know the Paul George question, but I just think again in the Eastern Conference, they can fight for a play-in spot. Boston, I think it's gonna be competitive. We know they don't have Tatum, but that team's gonna compete. And we know one thing about the Boston Celtics under Joe Mazzulla, they're gonna shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
A lot of threes. But I do expect them to be competitive. You know, again, fighting for a play-in spot. Whether or not they'll get in the playoffs remains to be seen. And then, of course, the Bulls, as we know, the Bulls will never, ever, ever not be competing for the play-in. With the Bulls, it came down to the Bulls and the Raptors for me. I just went with the Bulls. I think it could be either or with one of those teams, but that's my playoff and play-in predictions for the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to say this. I definitely got the Bulls in my playing team, but for the love of my sanity, can we tank a season away? Jesus, can we not go 41-41 for a season? Okay, Sean, my Eastern Conference playoff and play-in teams kind of got somewhat pretty much a little bit similar, a little bit. I got the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks being the two best teams, no particular order. I have the Milwaukee Bucks being a lot better than a lot of people think this season. I also got a shock for my award list, too. I wait to show y'all that. The Orlando Magic, I think, added Desmond Bane. I think these guys are going to be elite. Atlanta is my dark horse team in the East. They retool crazy. I think Atlanta's going to be a problem. Detroit Pistons is going to be a problem. Another dark horse team that I would not want to play in the playoffs. And then I think Jaylen Brown is going to be good enough to get the Celtics to play in. Philly should be better, but the health concerns always concern me. And Miami and the Bulls is like, I just figured that's the two teams that end up always finding a way to play each other in the play-in, and we end up losing to you in the play-in. It's just like the same cycle. I feel like a Dallas Cowboys fan, cycle repeat. We play trash beginning of the season, get good the second half of the season, lose Miami in the play-in. That's – yeah, I don't like your franchise, Sean. I don't. I'm tired of playing y'all. I don't like you.
That's fine.
Okay. Next up on the list is – And I know people say that the Pacers and all that, but I don't think the Pacers got enough. Who believe? I mean, nobody. Nobody believes in the beat. Next up on the show, your Western Conference. Yeah, this is going to get interesting.
Yeah, so the Western Conference, obviously, we can be very frank. Outside of Utah and Phoenix and Sacramento, I think the West is incredibly stacked. Mm-hmm. So, again, OKC, Denver, Minnesota, I think those teams are pretty much going to be right there, obviously. Houston Rockets, I would probably have them, you know, up there with OKC and Denver. But, again, the Novan Fleet situation, and they haven't really done anything to kind of replace him, is an absolute concern for me. But defensively, I think they're going to be really good. What is their spacing going to look like on offense is obviously a big question for me. And we understand the Kevin Durant addition. I think they're expecting some leaps from Jabari Smith and from Amen Thompson. But so I think they're going to be right there. Golden State and the Clippers, again, these are two teams that are – they do have older rosters, but I just think just in terms of top to bottom rosters, they have very good rosters. To me, just top to bottom, even though, again, a little bit older. Mm-hmm. But I think, and particularly the Clippers, the John Collins pickup, Bradley Beal pickup, Chris Paul pickup, without really losing much outside of Norman Powell, yeah. I think just makes them – they go about 10 deep, if we're being honest. Yeah. They were a 50-win team last year. I think they're probably around that pace this year as well. Mm-hmm. And we understand what Ty Lue is as a head coach, so I'm never going to sleep on him. From the play-in, I think the Mavericks are a play-in team, not because of they lack talent. It's just, you know, obviously they're going to be missing Kyrie Irving the first couple months of the season. When he comes back, again, presuming, you know, Cooper Flagg's development, obviously AD, Derek Lively continuing to take another leap as well. You know, I think they got a very good team in Dallas. I think they're going to be one of those teams when if they make the playoffs, the top eight, and I think they will, I think they're a team that, you know, a lot of teams are not going to want to play in the playoffs because of that length and athleticism and what they're going to be defensively. Memphis, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Only concern I got, well, you better get to it because I want to see with the Lakers and the Warriors over the Lakers kind of crazy. I mean, Clippers a little bit too, but I understand the Clippers do.
Yeah.
The Warriors being the playoff team and the Lakers are playing is kind of crazy. But go ahead.
Yeah. My issue with the Lakers is one, it's kind of Luka or nothing. Because Bron is out, and again, Bron going into year 23 and already missing the start of the season, if that would be a big concern for me. I think they're going to be competitive, but they're going to be asking for a lot, and they just their bench doesn't really impress me in that way. And that's no slight to Luka. It's just if something happens to Luka or Luka has to miss time,
GG's.
Yeah, and again. You know, we kind of know what Austin Reeves is, things like that. Their perimeter defense for me is a big concern for them. I just don't know if they have enough. And again, I know they brought in Marcus Smart, and if they had done that 3 years ago, I'd probably be impressed, but not today. And then DeAndre Ayton, he's not going to magically put on a Laker uniform and be
shaky.
I think he's a 14-10 guy, and that's what you're going to get, and that's okay.
That's but, good. Actually, yeah, if he give you 14-10, that's good.
Yeah, it's solid, but, you know, we'll see. So, yeah, I think we have to just – I can't look at the Lakers in just a bubble. I'm looking at the entire Western Conference. All these teams in the West, to me, either got better or are better than, you know, the Lakers. So, I think the West Conference is going to be tight, and it's a good chance SB 4 through 10 in the West could be separated by 3 or 4 games. It would not shock me. That's how good the West is, I think, you know, when you talk about 4 through 10.
Ooh, okay. I don't know where the Warriors and Clippers. I'm going to tell you why they concern me. Because here's mine. My playoff team goes as a follow. Look, at least we got – I talked to the team I think is legit. For the OKC, those are my top four, I think. OKC, I got playoff teams, OKC, Denver, Minnesota, the Houston Rockets. I got the Los Angeles Lakers actually making the playoffs. They're going to be a little playoffs. And I got the San Antonio Spurs actually making the playoffs. I got the Grizzlies, the Clippers, the Mavericks, and the Golden State Warriors as play-in teams. Now, the reason why I switched to pretty much our list is pretty much the same besides the Warriors and the Clippers. The reason why I put the Warriors in the play-in is because the age and rotation dynamic, like the same thing about health concerns. I just think these old guys, they ain't going to last out a whole 82-game season with that short rotation. And I'm not really impressed with the Warriors roster. And the Clippers is always an injury concern. Kawhi, it's not if Kawhi's going to miss. It's just when Kawhi missed time. Can Harden and Beal and the other pieces that they add to the team hold it down and keep them afloat to be how tough this Western Conference is and be a team? I can't 100% guarantee that. I have seen Luka by, like you said, it is Luka a bust. I do agree with you on that. I have seen Luka take teams to the playoffs that was like how the Lakers look and not be a play-in team, a playoff team. I just have more trust in Luka than I do with the Warriors roster and the Kawhi Leonard's health. I think the Grizzlies kind of get back on track, but I don't think there will be a team that's like above, like a real threat. I think they're going to be good because they did kind of lost a lot of people. And then if Dallas was actually healthy, I probably would have switched to Lakers as a play-in, and Dallas would have been on top. But with no Kyrie, it's pretty much AD and Cooper Flagg. And AD do have the concerns with his injury, and then it's also Cooper Flagg as a rookie getting it together. But yeah, that's just me. I'm trying. We got to he said Nuggets going to finish ahead. And LeBron tried to say he would start the season very calmly. Maybe he might. Next, Sean, we got to do our award prediction. Now, this was going to be less shaky. I think you had one on here, and I was like, I don't know about this, Sean. But, Sean, what is your award prediction? That's right.
Yeah, so MVP, I have Nikola Jokic. I think, obviously, just the way they've reloaded around him, his value is not going to go down. I think he's going to have a very similar season that he did last year. DPOY, you know, obviously, as a Heat fan, I've been pushing for Bam to get more recognition, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He'll get his all defensive nod, you know, team nod or whatever, but it's Wemby. Wemby's healthy. Wemby plays 65 games. Wemby will be the defensive player.
The sad part about it is Wemby only didn't get the award because of the games. Right. I think even without the games, he was still the defense. He would still would if they didn't have that game award, he would still won defensive player of the year last year. Like it was ridiculous how Wemby played last year defensively.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead. Rookie of the year.
Yeah, rookie of the year. I mean, I think it's Cooper Flagg or bust, obviously, just in the situation he's in. They're gonna win games. He's gonna play a role in winning those games. I know there are a couple other guys that could put themselves in competition for it, but I think it's just Cooper Flagg or bust. Sixth man of the year. This one was a little difficult because obviously you have some guys that may start the season coming off the bench and end up starting, things like that. I was trying to think of someone who I think will come off the bench the entire season and provide scoring punch. For me, it was Caris LeVert with Detroit. It just seems like he's in the right role in the right time. And obviously that team is going to have more attention this year because of what they did last year. But, you know, that remains to be seen. Most improved player. Most improved player is always a difficult one because sometimes it goes to a guy who wasn't an all-star the year before and made it that season. But I do think we see a jump from Brandon Miller in Charlotte. I think you're going to see him, you know, prove why he was the number two pick. And again, health obviously is a concern, but I think if he's healthy, you're going to see a really good season from Brandon Miller. And then coach of the year, Quinn Snyder, with Atlanta. You know, taking that leap, becoming a top, you know, six seed in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. I just think Quinn Snyder is the coach of the year.
All right. The Brandon Miller was like kind of concerned to me. I guess, like, I do get if he make an all-star team, it's like an improvement. But I'm like, because Brandon Miller was actually, like, pretty good. So that's what I was like.
I don't know if he makes an all-star team, but I think you see him take a leap and he plays more games. That's why I think he's my MIP pick.
I hope LaMelo Ball, you know, he's been doing that. He's part of that 6-7 mean. I hope he actually played more than 6 or 7 games this season. LaMelo, come on, man. You got to get together. My award predictions. The first, my MVP go shock you, Sean. My awards is as followed. My MVP will be Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. With all the concerns that was going on with Giannis and the Bucks, and they, but like literally, it's like the team is back, like for Giannis, everything to be around Giannis. Giannis not sacrificing nothing. I think we see a outstanding season out of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Sean. I can see Giannis. I think this year Giannis put up numbers, and I think with the Milwaukee Bucks not really being a 100% championship contender, they could be a dark horse team. I think Giannis should and will focus on becoming the best player in the league. I see Giannis. I got Giannis winning the MVP. Because then I like, you got the storyline with the team around it. So, you know, they always – that's what I look for when I pick Giannis. I was like, he going to put up crazy numbers. He by himself pretty much. He's like the lone star. And then there's going to be a story narrative that he carried Milwaukee on his back, whatever, how far they is, because the East wide open. I think DPOY is like a no-brainer. I think if Wimby's healthy, he's going to get the award. It's pretty much a lock. Rookie of the Year, I went a little bit different. I actually went Ace Bailey. I went Ace Bailey. I think the award is Cooper Flagg to lose, but I think Ace Bailey will get more of the opportunity to shine. We all know he's going to shoot that ball, Sean. Ace Bailey going to shoot the ball. So he's going to probably have a decent amount of numbers, though, because the record don't matter when it comes to Rookie of the Year. So
I'm not gonna say that. I think it can if there's another rookie on in winning situation.
Right, mate. Yeah. But it that'll be like the last night. That'll be like the tiebreaker, probably. But I just think I do think Cooper Flagg has a high chance of getting it. It's more 80% chance likely. But we don't know how the dynamic of the Dallas Mavericks is gonna be with AD. Then when Kyrie come back, is that gonna take away from Cooper Flagg's numbers and game for people to understand happy rookie of the year? Ace Bailey is literally like, it's nobody on Utah. They already talk about trade Walker Kessler. They already talk about trade Lauri Markkanen and what they leave you. Just Ace Bailey and some other young guys who are going to get opportunity to shine. My sixth man of the year. This is another award that kind of go with like a little narrative with it. I picked Jordan Clarkson of the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks is going to be exciting. The New York Knicks fan base go crazy. And you know what else they're going to be going crazy about? They finally got somebody off the bench that's dynamic. They somebody using the bench. And I know New York is going to push that narrative crazy. So I can see Jordan Clarkson being that spark off the bench for the New York Knicks. And I see him getting an award. My most improved shot will be the newly signed Chicago Bull, Josh Giddey. The second half of the season after the trade, Josh Giddey pretty much averaging a triple-double with the team. I think Josh Giddey mess around, make an all-star. And if he put up close to the same number they put last year, Sean, he will get most improved. And I got my coach of the year, M.A. Udoka. I think the Rockets are going to take another leap. They're going to be even better.
Think they take a leap better than the second seed?
Yeah, they're going to be around that same spot. And they might be – if the Fred VanVleet legitly kind of like threw a monkey wrench and everything, I think before Fred VanVleet getting hurt, I think the Rockets had a legit chance to be the number one seed in the West. I legitly do. You literally added the perfect component to what you was missing. A late game consistent score. And KD got the perfect components around, a bunch of young guys that's defensive. And KD never played with a skilled big man before, like Sengun. So I do think, and Udoka gonna have these boys playing defense. And then the one thing that they was missing was when the game came down the line, can somebody give us a shot and create his own shot?
I'll just remind you, Kevin Durant did play with DeMarcus Cousins, but that's a different conversation.
That wasn't that boogie, though. That wasn't boogie. He played boogie in his prime. That's boogie off of Achilles tear. That ain't Pelicans boogie. That ain't King.
But he was still skilled. I just know that.
I mean, but he wasn't boogie. Well, in a prime, I say. In a prime. He had played nobody in a prime. That's all I'm saying. Nobody in a prime. But me and Sean awards, but shout out Boogie. I ain't gonna lie, Boogie was playing today. Boogie will probably be one of the best big men in the league. That has been our award predictions for the conference. And well, make sure you guys comment and let us know. Comment on the video. Make sure you guys like too. But Sean, we got to talk about week 7, right? And we got to do our real takes or overreaction NFL stuff. But what stood out for you in week seven? If you guys see something that happened week seven and want us to talk about it, put the questions there. I like that pick for most of the problem. Almost did Montes too, I'm not going to lie. But what was your recap for week seven, Sean?
Just it was some wild and crazy games yesterday. Certainly, that Giants Denver game, you know,
shocked me. That was a good game. That was a good game.
Yeah, not if you're a Giants fan. Giving up 33 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was tough.
I mean,
fire the kicker. By the way,
I mean there were
he missed what two extra points, three.
Yeah, kicks. There were a lot of things there that just went wrong, went crazy. Obviously, certainly the injuries, Jaden Daniels. Getting hurt certainly was a bit of a disappointment. Don't know if they would have won that game even if he still played. But you know, so that was definitely a disappointment. Matthew Stafford having a throwback game yesterday, throwing five touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, against Jacksonville, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles receivers cutting up in Minnesota was definitely.
You heard what AJ Brown said.
No, what did he say?
He said, "This is what happened when you throw me the ball. Throw me the MFing ball."
Well, no, I mean, but it's also again, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Philly. If we're just being honest, right? That's just the way it is. So, at the end of the day, you know, they between the two of those receivers, they had 300 yards receiving. So clearly, you know, it was definitely, an interesting game. The Chargers game obviously, you know, was I don't want to get into it, but you know,
we buns. Yeah. Last week we had we fool's gold. Our defense is fool's gold, boy.
Yeah,
fool's
and gold. And you know, we'll talk about it in a moment, but just want to hear your impressions of week seven. Anything stood out to you?
I'm not gonna say anything that's in our real tech overreaction segment. But yeah, one of my Chargers dynamic is, man, I don't know, dog. We started off 3-0. You hyped me up. We can't stop the outside run to save our life. If the outside door open and it's Chargers on it, it's wide open, the door locked. You can take everything out the house if it's a sad door. Run right through. I'm gonna wait one more week. I'm gonna give you one more game though, Sean. But I do think, and I know everybody like if he can do it, I think Travis Hunt needs to lock in on one side of the ball for now. I'm leaning more towards it. I think now where could it be? It's probably going to be receiver, but because that's what they need. And then also, I was shocked that Giants and Broncos game, that was like the game of the year type game. That was a good game. That was a great comeback game. It was a good watch. The Giants are very exciting to watch now. I'm not going to lie to you. And yeah, that's about it. But for me, for my week seven recap, for what I like watched and seen. Oh, yeah, but I can't say that because it's in our real takeover reaction, so I'm trying to avoid saying so. Oh, and the Raiders is trash, by the way. Always.
Yeah, and Chip Kelly, why he still has a job today, I don't know why, but continue.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah, no, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's almost like you could have had a quarterback, but I get it because it's Pete Carroll. But I mean, Pete Carroll, but I do think you supposed to have a young guy back there. But time for real takeover reaction. If you guys want to drop a real takeover reaction in the comment section, please drop one. But we got to go down the list. Sean, this Sean is like that right here, though. Real takeover reaction. The Colts are the best team in the NFL. I can't believe Daddy Dimes look like a quarterback, dog. This is crazy. Who is that guy, man?
You know, listen, it's hard to say that they aren't. So I'm going to say real take today, real take.
I want to say no, but then it'd be like, what happened to your Chargers? BTA. So I can't really say that, but I'm not going to lie, Sean. That team is, they might, because now I'm like, what I do say I do like about this year of football is that it's legitimately up in the air. Nobody can literally put a thumb on to like who's the best player in the league, who's the real champion, who's the top tier championship contender. I think it's open. Only thing we know for sure is that the Raiders and the Dolphins are trash. That's it. They don't have nowhere chance to sniff a championship. Yeah. Yeah. But everybody else is up in the air. Anybody can make a good run at the right time. Even the Giants with the switch they made, they can make a run. I hope my Chargers get together. They can make a run. The Bears look good. They can make a run. The Chiefs getting back to normal. The Patriots look solid. The Buccaneers, the Lions. Like, it's this year, the Packers, this year is, like, crazy. But yeah. I think it could change. But I think as of today, the Colts are the best team. And right now, if the season ends today, Daniel Jones is a comeback player of the year. I know they used to do it for injuries, but from your career being over, that is different than coming back from an injury to me. When they say, hey, you're not good enough to be in the league or right. be a starter to do that.
Yeah.
Sean, this is what you do it here. But real take or overreaction. Two more coaches will be fired. Who are those two coaches? You can't say Chip Kelly. I know you want to say Chip Kelly.
Oh, Mike McDaniel?
Yes. And
Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll. Ooh, so the Giants?
Yeah.
The Giants ain't gonna save him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're gonna save him. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
That's why he hoping Jackson Dark ball out. He's saving that man's job. I think this is a real take. But I do think Mike McDaniels will be one. I think Daboll, he's going to finish out the season. I think they're going to let him finish out the season, whatever, it's cool. The other coach I think going to be fired, and Tiff has been asking for it, if the Ravens don't get on track with Lamar Jackson come back, I see John getting fired. Or they're going to let him go out to the season.
I think
they don't get back on track when Lamar comes back.
No, I'm saying knowing how that organization rolls, I would be very shocked if they fired him in season. Yeah. I'd be very shocked.
Or at least it's going to be – maybe after the season, but I think
after the season, I think there's going to be some conversations. But during the season, just given how that organization rolls, they're not the Steelers, but they like the Steelers. They don't tend to make major shifts like that in the middle of the season. That's just not how they tend to get down. So that's why I'm saying because of that organization. Any other organization, I think it's a good possibility, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah. That's what I said. They don't get back on track anymore.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I know everybody say two coaches be fired. He thought it was, and even me and Sean are going to say Aaron Glenn. No, I think the Jets should lose out this season. You got your coach. Trust your process. The same thing the Lions did. They trust the process, and they let it happen. Do not fire Aaron Glenn. He got somebody at quarterback, which I'm bringing this up. Justin Fields is done as the starting quarterback in the NFL. Real take or overreaction?
I think Justin Fields is done as a starter. If you're saying you're bringing him in and you're guaranteeing him your starting job, yeah, I think you're bringing him in and you say we're going to have an open quarterback competition, he's got a chance. But I'm not guaranteeing. I don't know if it was being around Russell Wilson last season or what, but I don't recognize Justin Fields at all. This is not the Justin Fields I saw with the Bears.
No, it ain't.
So I think he's done in terms of being guaranteed one of the 32 jobs. I think he'll have to compete, but it's not. Yeah, no, it's not.
It's ugly. I'm telling you, it's ugly, man.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
I say this real take, and I'm even more of a real take. Saying I think he does the quarterback. Period. I think he needs to just go on here. He run more than he throw the ball anyway. Just go ahead and switch to running back.
All right,
Taysom Hill is. Just do that.
No, we're not doing that.
Why not? What's wrong with it? I think he will succeed at that.
I
think he will succeed.
That's terrible. That's really bad.
That's tough, man. Next up, real take or overreaction. Okay, is this one guy? I'm gonna send you a video of him, Sean. I don't know if you heard this, a YouTuber named Chiseled Adonis. And he does hilarious commentary over like the NFL games. I'm gonna send it to you. I'm gonna see the last week 7. It's hilarious. He's a good YouTube creator. So when he does like funny stuff. I had like soundboard stuff. So when he does Caleb Williams, he'd be like, "Oh yeah, now going to Chicago with quarterback Zesty." I gotta send it to you. It's over here. But has quarterback Zesty Caleb Williams has arrived, man. They gotta leave my boy Caleb alone.
No, real take.
I think he has arrived now, yes. And Ben Johnson, their offense look good. I'm not going to lie. Their offense look good. Caleb Numbers wasn't, like, outstanding against your Saints, but they offense look good.
No, and again, I think it's still just a work in progress, but you're seeing him getting a little more comfortable. And again, I think the big thing is they got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. The defense played really well yesterday, obviously, you know, for them. They got to have a test, though, going to Baltimore next this coming week. You know, again, presumably with, you know, Lamar coming back, you know, can they? And I will say, while people have been flaming the Ravens, before the bye, the defense did play really well against the Rams. So, you know, let's see if that can carry over, you know, into this game coming up next week against the Bears. But, yeah, but Caleb, you know, has he arrived? I think he always had the talent. It's just now I think he has a coach who understands how to coach him, because Matt Eberflus did not. And so, you know, that matters.
I think they the truth, bro. I mean, the Bears look good right now. At least I got, like, one team that I like that like, playing well and not tricking me every other week. But I think that's going to be a test against Baltimore. I think is the game in Baltimore, too, next week?
I believe the game is in Baltimore, but let me just verify.
Yeah, it's in Baltimore. I'm looking at it. Yeah, that's going to be a tough test.
Yeah.
Last one before we get into our picks of the week, and then, you know, to call in if somebody want to call into the show, we prepare. We do it at the end. We ain't going to be too long on it because it is football game zone. We trying to watch it. My lady waiting on me to do something, but that's two story for a different day.
The Lions scored another touchdown, by the way. So
who just scored a touchdown?
The Lions just scored another touchdown. Jahmyr Gibbs just scored a 78-yard rushing touchdown.
Oh, yeah, we got it. Real take or overreaction? Brian Flores was right about Sean. About what, Sean?
About tuna. He was right about tuna. Absolutely freaking real take. He was right about tuna.
He said he's right about tuna. Talk to her.
Tuna.
Yeah, that man. I don't know what happened to this man. He wasn't this bad in Alabama. I don't know what's going on, man.
When you play around, the thing is, when you at Alabama, you're playing with 11 other, you know, you play with 10 other All-Americans on the opposite side of the ball. The defense has a bunch of All-Americans. Like, let's just call it what it is. He was never that great. He got in the right situation with a quote-unquote genius coach, you know, Coach Logic. Who was able to design all these fancy looking plays, but the moment it gets cold, the moment it's raining, or the moment somebody gets hurt, they look terrible. He was never that. And when he got up and ran his mouth after he got paid about Brian Flores, karma's a B.
Yeah. Who ain't looking too good? I can say that. That could be the next question, because the last game he played was awful against the Brown defense, lock him up. The next question is, do you bench him? But we're going to save that for next week, real takeover reaction. We're going to save it for that one. That has been a real take or overreaction. It is time to go ahead and blow the Dolphins up. We got to react to the pick of the week before we get into the call-in segment of the show. Be prepared to call in. It's time for our picks of the week, Sean, and I'm prepared for week 7. We are 3-3. The real question is, does any of tonight's game matter?
Yes, it does, because we picked differently on both games.
Okay, cool. All right, but let's go into who won and who up right now so far.
All right, so L.A. Rams at Jacksonville Jaguars. I took the Rams. You took the Jaguars. We know what happened there. Rams smacked them in London. Saints at Bears. We both took the Bears. The Bears did win. Miami at Cleveland. Cleveland smacked them. We know what happened. New England at Tennessee, Patriots did win. We both picked them. Raiders at Chiefs, we know what happened there. Chiefs blew them out. Philly at Minnesota, we both took the Eagles. The Eagles did win. Carolina at the Jets, Carolina did win that game. We both took Carolina. Giants at Denver, we both took Denver. Denver did pull it out late. Colts at Chargers, we both took the Chargers. We obviously know what happened there.
Yep.
Washington at Dallas, we both took Washington. Dallas did win. Packers at Arizona, Packers pulled it out late. We both took Green Bay, did win. Atlanta at San Francisco did win. We both took Atlanta. Tonight's game, you took Tampa, I took Detroit. I took Houston. You took Seattle. So you need both of these games tonight to win. I only need one of them to win, and then that will determine the week seven winner.
All right, there you go. I would say we need to – this will be your first back-to-back win if you win, so I need the Buccaneers to lock in as the Pistons going – I mean, the Pistons, the Lions going crazy at the moment. Ushah, episode 87, who you got? I think 87. I should be right.
You sure it's 87? I think it's 88.
It might be 88. I would say both. No, we missed one, remember? So I think it is 87.
Are you sure? I thought we had 87 because I think it was Tony Gonzalez for me last time.
But anyway, I think so. It might be 88. You might be right. But who you were? Where you going? 88. I know
I'm going. 88. Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison. I like Marvin Harrison. Yeah, because they brought him up in the Broncos game. I'm going.
Demaryius
Thomas. Yeah.
They put him in there.
Ring of Fame, that was good. The family was cool. I think that's why the Broncos came back and won the way they did. Yeah. They weren't losing that day for him. The
spirit of Demaryius Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake Debates. Nobody called in, so it's cool. We're going to shut it down because it's football season right now. But it's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake Debates with SB and Shy Webb. And we will see you guys on the next one. Peace out.
Takes over fake debates.